Okay. Hey, everybody. Good morning. Hope you are all doing well. Welcome to Faith and Fandom Feedback Friday, Friday feedback. Whatever this is, welcome. Glad you're here. It's Friday, April 19th, and we made it through the week. Congratulations. Glad you're here. Got to do this a little bit later in the morning than recent new times, just because work isn't as crazy and I don't have to go in super early this morning. I just got to go take some photos of a graduation and drop off some flyers today. So, cheers. There's also a women's conference at my church that I probably should be a part of too. And those are all things, though. Good morning. Hope you're doing well. Gonna jump right into the news. Got a chunky bit of stuff, but if you're watching this on Facebook Live, make sure that you chime in and share. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know how you're feeling about stuff so we can comment and get in on this together. If you're watching this on YouTube, obviously I'm not seeing your comments live, but you can always jump back in and tell me what you're thinking. And to the one dude who constantly dislikes my YouTube videos, I love you anyway. So let's jump in. Superhero stuff. We are officially underway with Peacemaker season two has officially started filming. James Gunn announced this by taking a photo of the back of Peacemaker's helmet as a, with a selfie in it. So that's coming. If you weren't aware, Peacemaker is transitioning into the new DC universe, but not canonically in terms of season one. Season one will no longer be considered canon, and but will still be part of the DC universe moving forward in cinematic stuffs. So that is coming. Australia had a rough go of things the past week or so. First off, let's talk about the positive in Australia. Bluey dropped their season finale, I believe, with an episode called The Sign. It was a 28-minute episode that focused on families having to move and sell their homes and the trauma that goes with that, all delivered in a lovingly Bluey-centric vibe. But it also all boiled down to the fact that it was saved by a butterfly effect. So it's heartwarming. It's good. If you have stuff with single parents or you are single parents, it actually had some warm fuzzies for that. I have seen some negative backlash for parents who were hoping that this episode was going to help them with moving and showing their kids that things were going to be okay with moving. And then, but the episode concludes with them deciding to stay there for a number of reasons. But it was a great episode. It got me in my feels a couple times. But The Sign, I believe it's the season finale for Where We Are. And honestly, it would make a decent series finale for Bluey, but I don't think we're done with that for the near future. But that's the positive of Australia. Australia had two, and I'll say the word, I don't say the word loosely, but they had two mass stabbings. And, you know, I'm not one to go into anti-gun control or things like that, but I'll just say, Mink, as Reese Roper said in the live version of the intro to A New Hope on the 1999 album, I believe, Proof That the Youth Are Revolting, as they were describing the stuff about Columbine, he just said, mankind is dark. And it doesn't matter what your tool is, if you have evil in your heart, you're going to do evil with it. And there were two mass stabbings in Australia this week. One was at a mall where six people were killed. And that is sad and that is hard. Six people were killed. One man heroic, or no, one officer in Australia took the man down. But six people did die at the mall. In Australia with that. Another mass stabbing in Australia in the same week took place inside a church. as a 15-year-old. I've heard 15, I've heard 16, depending on different news outlets. A young teenage male stabbed two church leaders mid-service before being put to the ground, like held down by the parishioners. The young man waited for the live stream to start of the message and then stabbed the two leaders that were in there. The bishop who they both lived, to my understanding, and the bishop went on to say, he preached forgiveness. Good on you. Yeah, I know that's hard, and I'm gonna go ahead and swing with the other hard news out the gate. It's out of my notes order, but just to tell you, Mandisa, the powerhouse vocalist who did songs like Overcomer and had one of the best Christmas albums, she passed away last night, to my understanding. At the age of 47, Mandisa died in her home in Tennessee. No further details are available at the point of this recording. But yeah, I had two people that I had to I text that prior to saying that online, because I know they truly care. There's probably a third I should have said that to as well. But that's crazy. Not much older than me, but also someone that I've watched her whole kind of career, Grammy Award winner and everything, and she has passed away. So let's jump from things that are truly horrible to things that are only scripted horrible at times. If you are a wrestling fan, there are some recent turns of events in the past week. Notably, IRL Rhea Ripley has become injured. We don't know all the full details of it, and has had to vacate or lay down her title and give it up after winning it at WrestleMania 39 and defending it at WrestleMania 40. There is speculation that it's just a way for her to have proven that she's still worthy and then take time off to go get married because she is engaged. She also recently lost a dog and they just gained a new one. But, that was kind of sad for her to lay down the title. And, that's the thing that's happened in, those types of events is that it's when you do all this scripting and performances to get to a place where you get people where you want them and then they actually get injured in real life and have to stop. On another, and I don't know if this is news part, but like one of the actors from the Hamilton musical went on a podcast this past week to say that wrestling is theater. And that's the best way to describe it. It's incredibly athletic, masterfully done theater. And coming from somebody that was in the original Broadway cast of Hamilton, that's not a bad description. So take that as it will. Also, Chad Gable, who has been kind of dorking things around as a Kmart Kurt Angle for a while, has now turned heel. So fun for that. And other fun news of people becoming bad guys, Sonic 3 has officially cast Keanu Reeves as Shadow the Hedgehog. Now, that's cool and all. I'm not against that, and I'm sure he'll do fine. I'm just loving the fact that the two beastie antagonists and protagonists of this are going to be Idris Elba and Keanu Reeves because I want to see them have a fight in real life. I want to see like a John Wick style thing of Keanu Reeves and Idris Elba fighting. So if Shadow and Knuckles are the closest I get to that, I'll take it. Tesla is to cut 14,000 jobs. And as Elon Musk is saying that he wants the company to be lean, innovative, and hungry. And apparently, though, if you're laying off 14,000 jobs, you don't just want the company to be hungry. You want your employees to be hungry because that's a lot of jobs to lose all at once. And I understand car markets are hard and innovation is hard, but yikes. 14,000 people losing their jobs is a rough cut in that capacity. Donald Glover, aka the Childish Gambino, is has a new album that is rolling out, and he is also teasing that this will be his next to last album. He has one more album coming soon, and that will be his final album. He also then went on to say that, maybe it won't be his last, but he was, kind of advertising it as that in those capacities. But Childish Gambino is dropping new album. You should definitely check that out if you enjoy just Donald Glover and his musical persona. Honestly, I've listened to some of his music, and but mainly I know him from the This Is America video. So, go with that what you will, but Childish Gambino dropping new music. It's a thing if you care. So we got that coming up. Is and he's been putting out music for a while, if y'all don't realize that. He's got music back from the early 2000s, really. Godzilla Minus One will officially drop on May 3rd on Amazon Prime. So if you've been waiting to see Godzilla Minus One, I can't express it enough. I know it's not going to be the banger that Godzilla versus Kong is, or the fun like hijinks of that, but Godzilla Minus One is a heartbreaking, beautifully made Academy Award winning Godzilla film, and it will be on Amazon Prime May 3rd. So I watched it in theaters. I cried. It was gorgeous. Don't think I can recommend that one enough. Steve Buscemi has joined the cast of Wednesday season two, the Tim Burton Netflix series focusing on Wednesday Addams. The role of the principal was previously held by Gwendolyn Christie of Game of Thrones and Sandman fame. And like Harry Potter, apparently they're going to kill off or get rid of a teacher every year. And it appears that Steve Buscemi might be coming in as the new principal of Wednesday's school. So I love Steve Buscemi. He has a great range and wide variety of things that he does. I don't think it'll be cool addition to the show. And he can definitely pull off the creepy and sinister yet heartwarming vibe. The classic hip hop album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, will be inducted to the Grammy Hall of Fame. If you remember Killing Me Softly or just any of the things that she did in that era, Lauryn Hill was a game changer at that time, and there have been few. I understand that we have rappers like Doja Cat and Nicki Minaj and stuff like that, who have their own skill set. But there was a different vibe and skill level to Lauryn Hill and what she did. So the fact that this is getting a Grammy Hall of Fame acknowledgement is a big win. Sweet Tooth, the Jeff Lemire comic book that rose to fame and has a live action Netflix adaptation, will officially be dropping season three in June. I have not finished season two. I don't know if I've even started season two. I know I watched season one, and I appreciate what Jeff Lemire does, and the cast is good, and I enjoy Big Man, and the kid with the reindeer antlers is cute. I mean, it's got heart for days. But if you want to watch it, season three will be coming in June. And other things that you probably didn't have on your 2024 bingo card is that two sons of the Beatles are making music together. James McCartney, who's the son of Paul McCartney, who looks like a middle school algebra teacher. And Sean Ono Lennon, who looks like he works at an Apple store, are putting out a new song called Primrose Hill. And I don't say that in a negative about their appearance. It's just like when you think of the sons of the Beatles, you don't know what they look like all the time. Like I've seen Sean Lennon before, but I'd never seen James McCartney pictured before. And I was like, oh man, he looks like a an algebra teacher, but they are putting out new music. So if you are interested in hearing what the sons of the Beatles sound like together, you can listen to their new song Primrose Hill wherever you stream music. Coming back with Superman news, the Max series, My Adventures with Superman, season one was a beautiful adaptation of Superman. It was a great storytelling situation. It was heartwarming. There was great writing. They have dropped a season two trailer. And so we are getting another season of that, as we can look forward to some of the stuff with Jor-El and probably Zod moving away or moving on as well with that. But that is coming, and we're going to get some fun stuff with that. If you enjoyed My Adventure Superman, if you've not watched that, I highly recommend it. It was probably one of the best animated series of 2023 for me. No Hall and Oates. Well, they are no longer ampersanded, meaning there's no longer a conjoining of Hall and Oates. They have officially disbanded, and it's ugly. November, Daryl Hall sued his longstanding partner John Oates. And now they are officially just out, and they said that they've moved on and they have a new lease on creative life, but they ended their partnership bitterly, and which is not how you want to go out. But either way, that's where it's heading. Speaking of bitter ways to go out, Netflix's series The Witcher, which infamously lost Henry Cavill as Geralt, or Geralt, and has been henceforth replaced with a Hemsworth, Liam Hemsworth replacing Henry Cavill's Geralt, has began production on season four. And they have been renewed all the way to season five, and it will end with season five. So we have two seasons with Liam Hemsworth as Geralt and three seasons with Cavill. And I know that there's a lot of people that were just like, no, Cavill's gone, I'm out. So wherever you stand with that, just let you know it is coming, and you are going to have another two seasons of it to deal with. And further expanding on news that isn't great in terms of Netflix things, Paramount, it's not necessarily Netflix with this one, Paramount has decided to delay the animated movie for Avatar: The Last Airbender, Aang: The Last Airbender, which was supposed to come out the end of the year, is now going to come out in 2026. There are three feature films of Avatar: The Last Airbender, of the original cast, the original directors from the animated series that are going to be coming out. There are three films that are going to follow Aang's story after the series ended, and especially some of them as adults. And but they've already pushed it back to 2026. And I still feel like I understand we're in 2024, but when I hear numbers like 2026 or anything past where we are, I feel like we're in sci-fi world. And like, that's not real numbers. That's silly. I grew up in the 80s. 2026 is science fiction. What are you talking about? But that is coming. And Mattel is partnering with Heinz, like the toy people with the ketchup people, for a pink barbecue sauce. And it's going to be a combination of, it's going to be a smoky sauce. That's a combination of vegan mayo, barbecue sauce, and beetroot extract. If you tell me there's anything in a bottle with vegan mayo, barbecue sauce, and beetroot extract, that's a no. That's a no. I don't care what you call it. No, I don't want that. I barely can tolerate barbecue sauce. I hate mayo. Vegan mayo just sounds worse. And beetroot extract just makes me want to make Dwight jokes. That's just not something I want to put in my mouth, but it does have a classic Barbie logo on the bottle. So somebody's going to love it. Somebody's going to hate it. But I'm not going to try it. If you are a fan of cinema, you have probably heard the understanding or had the understanding of knowing that Quentin Tarantino for years and years has said that he's only making 10 movies. Not producing, but like directing, writing, all that jazz. He's making 10 films. He's got one left in the chamber. He had previously announced that it was going to be a movie called The Movie Critic starring Brad Pitt, but that has since been canceled and he's going back to the drawing board. He, whatever, had a change of heart to the point where he realized he didn't want that to be his last film. And so it's not going to be his last film. So that has gone back to the drawing board officially. But on news that kind of fits in the same caliber, Leonardo DiCaprio is going to reteam with Martin Scorsese, which he does like every other day, to play Frank Sinatra in in a biopic. So Leonardo DiCaprio is apparently going to be playing it, I'm hoping, a middle-aged Frank Sinatra. But yeah, I personally am a huge fan of the Rat Pack movie from the late 90s, early 2000s that HBO made that starred Don Cheadle as Sammy Davis Jr., Joe Mantegna as Dean Martin, Ray Liotta as Frank Sinatra. I enjoyed that movie a lot, and it might have mainly been Don Cheadle performing as Sammy. I thought Mantegna did a great job as Dean Martin. Ray Liotta was the weakest of the pack in terms of performance and stuff like that, but he was still good. I don't know that Leonardo DiCaprio is going to add something to my love of Frank Sinatra, but who knows? Maybe it could be a thing. Good Omens will begin filming season 3 in January of 2025. If you are aware, they finished season 2. And this is one of those situations where the series has far exceeded the book. They're way beyond the deep end in terms of content related to the actual storyline and everything. So, it's not even remotely the same, or what's going on in story, but people enjoy it. So if you are a fan, Good Omens season 3 will begin filming in January. And if you live in California, New York, Pennsylvania, Illinois, or New Jersey, or Missouri, you could be looking at losing some of your favorite, air quotes, unhealthy snacks in the near future. Near future, probably 2026. There's proposals on the table to cut foods that have certain dyes, yellow 6, yellow 5, yellow, so yeah, yellow 6, yellow 5, titanium dioxide, blue 1, and red 40 are all on the chopping block to be cut in those states. Because reasons they have medically linked to. This includes Duncan Hines Cake Mix, Lucky Charms, Trix, Gatorade, Diet Mountain Dew, Tostitos Cheese Dip, Fruit Loops, Flamin' Hot Cheetos, Doritos, let's see, Pop-Tarts, Juju Fruits, Jell-O, Oreos, Swedish Fish, M&M's, Sour Patch Kids, Skittles, Hot Tamales, and Nerds Gummy Clusters could all be banned in those states and potentially further states down the road if the bills that are being proposed move forward. Now we know how bills and things work like that, but it's on the table. And these are things that I've heard like my whole life too, of like, my aunt, I remember being very adamant, don't drink Gatorade because whatever, and all the risk things. And growing up as a kid, it was the red dyes, the red fives, and stuff like that. So the fact that it's taken my entire lifetime for it to get to here is still kind of surprising to me. One of the big hoorahs of the week started out at the beginning of the week, where at the Stronger Men's Conference, a, I'm gonna miss some of the details on this, but a man who was from Britain's Got Talent, I believe, opened up a men's, a Christian men's conference by doing tricks on a pole while also swallowing a sword. And you can have all your own commentary on those things, but one of the things that really blew up is that following that performance, Mark Driscoll, who is, you know, known for heated responses and aggressive tendencies sometimes in his leadership, walked out and denounced the whole affair as the spirit of Jezebel, and kind of stepped on the toes of the pastor who was hosting the event and his church. Pastor Lindell, who hosted the, who was like the host of the event overall, and it was his church this was taking place at. It was his choices for what was, and Lindell went on to say that if immediately after he kicked Driscoll out, was that if he had a problem with how it was being done, he could have spoken to him personally rather than announcing it on stage in front of the world and going viral with it. Which does follow the biblical principle of Matthew 18, that if you've got beef with somebody, you go talk to them personally first. And that was Lindell's big beef, was not that he embarrassed them, but it's like, if you had a problem with me, you biblically had a responsibility to come and talk to me first, not to go publicly air your anger in that capacity. Driscoll went on to apologize for that later in the week. That yes, he should have talked to Lindell first. Not he, ap he apologized for the rest of his comments, but he apologized that he should have talked to Lindell first. But apparently, there is more drama that unfolded with that because Lindell, Senior, has said that Driscoll went to Lindell's son, who also works with the church, and says that it's time for him to take over because his dad's gone the wrong way. So, ew, I don't want that. That's drama. Caitlin Clark, who broke NCAA records, both men and women's records, in basketball, has been drafted into the NBA, number one pick, and she will make $76,000 her first year in the WNBA, which is less than 1% of the average NBA player. And which has sparked a discussion heavily in terms of what, how to handle the pay gap that comes with women's sports and men's sports. And that as a headliner, record breaker, things of that nature, that she's going to get less than 1% of her male counterparts, has sparked a lot of discussion. And she said in an interview that she doesn't expect to get paid as much as men's basketball because more people watch men's basketball. But what she did say is that she should get paid more than golfers because people don't watch golf like that as much as they do the WNBA. Regardless, I think it does open a place for discussion because you can work, like, legitimately speaking, you can go work at Buc-ee's and make more than being the number one draft pick in the WNBA. Take that as you will, because I get it. It's sports is not my area of expertise in terms of pay scale, but that does seem off that you get 1% of your counterparts. Previously mentioned that Tarantino is approaching his last film. Well, Clint Eastwood has officially completed his last film. It'll be his final film, and it's a movie called Jury Number Two, or Juror Number Two, which stars Nicholas Hoult and Toni Collette. And this will be his last movie that he works on, that he's in. He's officially hanging up his hat in terms of all things cinema with this film. So if you're a fan of Clint Eastwood, this is going to be his last rodeo in that capacity. As previously speaking of golfers and people watching slash not watching golf, the top golfer, you know, out there, Scottie Scheffler, on April 11th went on to do an interview where he said that Jesus Christ is really what he defines who he is, not just his goal for success or anything like that, that his whole identity is bound up in who Jesus is and his relationship with Jesus. And so he used his platform to proclaim Christ in that way. So that's awesome. Appreciate whenever people do that. This isn't like a heartbreaking thing or anything like that, but filming the Project Mercy, on the fourth day of filming, Chris Pratt jacked up his leg. He took a metal pole to the ankle, and it's not like terrible. He's not going to lose his leg or anything, but he is injured in that capacity. So he tried to do his own stunt and got hurt. So that happened. And in more tech and laying off news, mentioned earlier that Elon Musk is laying off 14,000 jobs. Well, Google fired 28 employees after staging a protest in New York and California. And where the employees, hey Amanda, good morning. Google, where Google employees said that their practices are genocide and caused their termination in this capacity. If you aren't paying attention to what's going on, internationally with stuff, Dubai has dealt with record-breaking rain and flooding, to the point that airports, highways, interstates, malls, big businesses, all these things are completely underwater. Cars are left abandoned. It said that they received a year and a half worth of rain in 24 hours, and just nobody's prepared for that. So Dubai is heavily under fire in those things. So if you are a prayer or supporter in those things, you should check that out because it's a thing. And Amanda, since you just popped in here, my friend Amanda does beauty pageants and things like that. I'm actually reporting on a news beauty pageant. Amanda, see how you feel about this. FanView, which is an Instagram social media profile thingy, is hosting the world's first AI beauty pageant, where contestants will be judged on beauty, social media clout, and the creator's use of AI tools. So if you're not aware, Instagram and lots of other places are filled with profiles of completely AI-generated women. And there will be a beauty contest specifically for these AI creations of fictional women on how they're designed, on how real they are, how authentic, and things like that. And there will be a cash prize for the winner who designs this person, and they will also be entered into a promotion to use their tools and gain further abilities. So there's an AI beauty pageant. Do with that what you will. Yeah. I don't even know what to do with that. Like, I'm not pooping on people that use AI. Not right now. But an AI beauty pageant just seems like such a stretch for things. If you aren't familiar with, there's a indie film called Rust that 2 years ago, I believe, Alec Bault, Brent Bergen says, isn't this part of why actors went on strike to avoid AI? In a lot of ways, yes, it is. In a lot of ways, yes, it is. And speaking of which, too, the film that's in theaters, the A24 film Civil War, was under fire this week as well for using AI generated advertisements and things like that. So it's still a big old thing. If you're familiar with the tragedy that happened, I want to say it was 2 years ago now, filming the movie Rust, Alec Baldwin unintentionally shot and killed a somebody that worked on the film. He was supposed to shoot an unloaded gun at a camera, and Instead, the gun that he was handed had a bullet in it, and he unknowingly killed a person on the film set. Now, this week, all this time later, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who was the primary weapons handler on that movie, has been sentenced to 18 months for involuntary manslaughter. So, because she is the woman who was, it was her job to make sure the guns were safe. It was her job to make sure that every actor was touching safe instruments. Because when Baldwin was handed a thing, he was handed a tool and did what he was told to do. It was her responsibility. She was the one that actually had to check off and say, is this a live weapon? Is this a not live weapon? Etc. And because she didn't do that, she's getting sentenced to 18 months in prison with this. The criminal trial is set to begin on July 10th. Further that. Sorry, let me say that again. Baldwin's criminal trial is set to begin on July 10th. After grand jury indicted him for involuntary manslaughter. So Baldwin may also be facing some time with this, but Gutierrez is the one who's currently facing the most time. And so it's just hard times, and that's just crazy. Adam Peaty, who's a three-time Olympic gold medalist in swimming, also this week went on the BBC to Brent Bergen says, I feel bad for all these people. We not Hollywood actors to be trained. As like, I get it, like that it's just dangerous stuff to be working with, and they do need to be trained. And that's the thing, like how many action movies had Alec Baldwin made in the 80s and 90s? And all these people, it's just like all it takes is one person's negligence or bad action for a bunch of people to get hurt. But Adam Peaty, who's a three-time Olympic gold medalist, went on an interview this week to also say that his Christian faith is what keeps him balanced mentally and helps him prepare for Olympics as he's getting ahead of the Paris Olympics this summer. But he said that his faith is what grounds him and do that. So another actor using his play, or not actor, but a performer using his position to be able to verbalize and vocalize his faith. Heavy stuff, just to say this real quick. If you haven't seen the footage, and I'm not getting into, if we're talking about news, I get some of this stuff is big and heated. Be nice to each other in the comments, especially YouTube. I'm watching you. But this week, Iran fired 300 drones and missiles at Israel. And that's just a lot. It's a lot. And the internet was full of footage of these missiles in the air and them being shot down and all this stuff. But it's just like it's just crazy to see with stuff to be able to look out and see 300 missiles flying or 300 drones with missiles flying towards you. Just terrifying to see what that looks like. And so, if nothing else, if you are a praying person, go pray for the whole situation. Act where you can, pray where you can't, and or pray when you can as well. But that's just rough. But the first time I saw all of it in the sky and video, I was just like, that just kind of like hit me in the gut. Yeah, let's talk about some not serious things. This is something I am heavily invested in. But it's not important or serious, so let's go. Pokemon Go has finally recognized fluffy people's existence. Pokemon Go premiered July 6, 2016. So for almost 8 years now, we've had Pokemon Go. And if you are a player, you had to look like you were in a boy band, like skinny, spiky hair, etc. Now, Pokemon Go has finally allowed people to be girthy, to have shape and curves and things like that. So, I'll consider that a win. Pokemon Go has also upped their whole processing speed for everything. So you know that thing like when TV started shifting into the HD where it looked like stuff was moving a little too fast and it felt a little unnatural and made you queasy when you watched it. Pokemon Go is moving at that speed now. So it has upped its speed, upped its capacity, and so now Pokemon Go is you can be chunky, you can be curvy, and it moves at really high speeds. So if you haven't played in a while, you might find it moderately disorienting when you pop back in. But it was really nice to see. This morning at midnight, Taylor Swift dropped her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, and surprised a lot of her fans, or I guess all of her fans, with the fact that it wasn't just one album, it was a double album, that was an anthology. And so you got a full double album for what people were expecting with one. My daughter was listening to it as I was getting ready for bed, and I don't have enough at stake to actually comment on anything in the album itself, except the fact that it was a double album. Now, what is cool and what I think is hilarious and brilliant, brilliant marketing is that right when Taylor Swift's album was about to drop and dropping, they dropped the trailer for M. Night Shyamalan's new movie starring Josh Hartnett called Trap. And in it, hey Dallas, good morning, dude. In M. Night Shyamalan's new movie Trap, a dad is taking his teenage daughter to an Eras Tour level concert. And I'm talking down to the glowing bracelets. If you've watched any of the Eras Tour, you know what Taylor Swift concert were like. So a dad is basically taking his daughter to a fictional Taylor Swift concert. Then what you find out is the dad, Josh Hartnett, is a serial killer. And the FBI and all everybody, Homeland Security, whatever else, is setting up this fake Taylor Swift concert as a means to trap this serial killer in the building. So now the whole premise of the movie is there's a serial killer dad stuck at a Taylor Swift concert while the FBI is closing in on him and he needs to escape them and they're watching all the exit and everything else. So he's going to try and run from law enforcement or kill his way out. Who knows what he's going to do? But here's what I'm going to say this. The movie was announced. They waited intentionally to drop it with the release of Taylor Swift's album. That's brilliant marketing. Hey, Corey. So I just thought that was brilliant marketing. M. Night Shyamalan, does not have the perfect track record when it comes to stuff, but dropping a Taylor Swift themed serial killer movie with Taylor Swift's new album, brilliant in terms of marketing. Now, what I will say is this, and you'll hear it here first if I'm right. If it does sound like a job for Liam Neeson. But if you knew any of the Taylor Swift stuff in the previous year with her touring and everything else, she made it to the stage almost every night or every from the stage, whatever, by being slid out in a custodian cart that looked like it had mops and brooms and stuff like that. And she would hide inside the cart and they would wheel her in and out. If Josh Hartnett's character escapes all the government officials in this movie by being escorted out in a custodian cart, that's going to be perfect. So I'm calling the ending now. That's what's happening. That's how it's going to go down. M. Night Shyamalan's Taylor Swift themed horror movie or serial killer movie, Trap, hits theaters August 9th. And in terms of fictional cops and crimes, Mariska Hargitay, or Hargitay, the lady from Law and Order SVU, who's played the same hard edge cop forever, Like her performance is kind of legendary of that role, and she's kept it going for a long time. She had a real life cop hero moment when a little girl who was lost and looking for her mom in New York saw her and knew that she was a cop and ran to her for help. So that's really sweet. Little girl's lost. We're talking New York, all the crowds, all the people, and she recognizes the one cop that she sees on TV all the time and is able to go and be rescued from her in that capacity. And Marissa actually stayed with her and made sure that she got safely back to her parent. So that's super cool. That's a neat thing in that way. If you haven't seen Fallout 4, or no, sorry, Fallout, the series did really well and is officially renewed for season two. And yeah, that's about all of my newsy news. There's a lot that went in this week, but that's about all the news that I've got. And a couple things just to let you know about. I want to let you know that we're adding some May events and cons. I don't have all the details yet, and I'm going to wait until they're officially confirmed. But I do know that we're adding Wake Forest Comic Con, in August 19th. You're one pan or Dallas says he's one episode away from finishing Fallout. I am not that far. I think I've watched the first three, maybe first two. But in with that, and Fallout's looking good. My bandwidth for TV right now, just with time, has been Shogun is a priority, Delicious in Dungeon is a priority, X-Men 97 and Bad Batch are kind of where I've been really focusing attention to on what I'm watching. Fallout is going to get its full just due. I'm going to watch the rest of that with it. I had some work projects the other day that I had to do, and I put on the noir murder mystery Ripley starring Adam Scott on Netflix while I was working, because it's a very, very slow burn. Not Adam Scott, Andrew Scott, the guy who played Moriarty. But no, I am fully intending to get into the rest of Fallout this week coming up. Brent says, did you hear about the Skywalker Saga re-release on May 4th? I did. And I will say this wholeheartedly, that if I did not have prior commitments that required me to be there, I would 100% go do that. But that's a hard day to swing, because one, I've got a wedding that I'm DJing like 3 hours away. It's going to take up the majority of my day. There's no way I could do it. Second, it's also free comic book day. With that, so my understanding, it is nationwide, in terms of it's going to be at certain theaters in each area. It's not going to be everywhere, but I think there are going to be some theaters that are going to be playing. It could be select theaters. Because I knew I couldn't do it, I didn't really put a ton of like time researching it into it. But I know, like, I would want to do it. I did, and I know it's a nowhere near the same marathon, but I did the Dark Knight trilogy in theaters in one sitting, and that's a lot. But I feel like if I had the ability, I would absolutely watch the whole Skywalker saga in one sitting, because that's just a special level of gangster with that. I'm just going to share this one verse that I read yesterday. It was encouraging to me. Was reading through with some scripture with my friend Brendan, Haggai 1:5. I don't even know. I've always heard other pastors say Haggai. Either way, Haggai 1:5. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says: give careful thought to your ways. And I thought it was just a nice, good little simple reminder. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Give careful thought to your ways. Like, is this a good life choice situation with those things? So that's a verse that just kind of been marinating on the past day or so. And I'm gonna tell you here, before I announce it anywhere else, since y'all care enough to be here. I approached a like bucket list level podcast guest, like someone I've always wanted to have on a podcast and never actually thought would say yes. I approached a podcast guest through email this week and got a yes. Got to set up details, got to finalize some stuff, but it's somebody that I literally have been a fan of since I was in middle school and who's still making good content now. Who's been making content my whole life. So we'll see. Thanks, Dallas. We'll see if it happens. But I wrote an email in 2002, and like the email came back and said the email was invalid because they had changed servers or something. And I was like, you know what? Never mind. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to waste my time. And then I thought, you know what? Let's try that again. Sent it and got a response within 5 minutes. So we'll see. But once I have something shored up, I'll be announcing it soon because it'll be like 2 episodes down on the Faith and Fana podcast on LTN. But I'll say this as just a clue hint thing. This is someone that has worked in the medium of TV, video games, comics, and musical art. Razzle dazzle. So super pumped about that. Before I bounce, I want to take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters because y'all make literally everything possible in terms of making all this stuff happen. Some more recent and new Patreon supporters. Let's see. David Brooks and Jeff Weimer. Saying that right? Jeff Weimer. Are some of our newer Patreon supporters. Thank you for being a part of this, as well as Jacob Gibson, just newer ones. Thank y'all for being a part of it. I want to thank Colin Sproles, Jamie Montgomery, Matthew Coleman. Let me click this button. Okay. Colin Sproles, Jamie Montgomery, Matthew Coleman, Jonathan Herman, Ron Petit, Gear Saber Cosplay, Scott Ward, Alicia Glenn, Candace Davis, Jay Sheed, Jason Crutchfield, Mike Perna, Todd Turner, John Jacobs, Zach Harris, Caleb Grimm, Jeanette Skaggs, Jason Bullock, Christina Ray, Sarah Lewis, Patrick Gale, Rebecca Godlove, and Adam Davis. Thank you all for being so fantastic in your support, your encouragement, and just being there. Because if you support my Patreon, you don't get a lot. I give all the content I make away for free anyway, so you're not getting like really crazy anything extra. And so thank you for supporting. You do make it so much easier to do things. Like we're coming up on seasons now where we have to start booking some more hotels and booking stuff for more shows, ordering more stickers and books and things like that. And so it takes a huge burden off my family financially to be able to have some cushion with that. So thanks for being a part of that. Thank you for supporting the ways that you do. And this w upcoming week on the Faith and Fandom podcast with LTN, gonna have Nathan Webb from Checkpoint Church. And if you didn't see, Chris Poirier and I just hit our 100th episode of the Pull List podcast, talking about comics. Oh, this was another big thing, and I'm gonna wrap up with this and go be an adult. If you are a comic collector or a faith person that just likes to have stuff that's gonna be kind of milestone-y, if you're familiar, Tom King wrote an issue of Batman, Batman 53 a few years back that was very heavily focused on Job. Being an adult is overrated, Alicia Glenn. But Tom King wrote this very biblically encouraging book, Batman 53. It actually started the Pull List podcast 100 episodes ago. This past week, Tom King wrote what potentially is going to be a very hotbed topic for comics and faith community. There is a Wonder Woman, a new Wonder Woman villain called the Sovereign, who is basically the human embodiment of the patriarchy. And where Wonder Woman has a lasso of truth, the Sovereign has a lasso of lies. And he uses it to manipulate Wonder Woman into being subservient. But where this becomes the hotbed topic is the entire issue is either Wonder Woman or the Sovereign promote making Wonder Woman say these things, quoting every verse of scripture that's used to take down women, air quotes, if you're listening to this, air quotes. Like verses that say that a woman should be quiet, or that, you know, that you should be subservient, stuff like that. So literally this guy is, and he's saying he doesn't believe these things in scripture. He doesn't, but he uses it as a weapon. And so the whole issue of Wonder Woman 8, Tom King's run, is this guy using Bible verses as weapons to take down Wonder Woman and crush her spirit. So issue 8 is going to have a lot of response in how it's done. Now, here's what I do think. I think issue 9 is going to like follow up with a Rickroll in all of this. So like I'm going to wait and put all of my cents in after I see what happens in issue 9. But I'll say this, issue 8 was really, really hard to read. Because here's the deal. The dude wasn't like making stuff up, and he's not the only person to ever use Bible verses in that capacity. So even if you're not currently caught up, well, first of all, I'll say this, Wonder Woman 7 issues prior to that, chef's kiss, fire. But this issue, rough to read. So it's gonna play into some conversations and so you should be aware that that's out there. All right. I need to go adult and do adulty things. And I will join back in with y'all soon. And more stuff and announcements coming, by the way, whenever I can actually take time to get them together. But I hope y'all have a great day. And going back to that verse, give careful thoughts to your ways. You don't always have to Brent, you are totally welcome. Love you too, Dallas. Give careful thought to your ways, and I hope the rest of your day is good and that y'all find some time to rest and be encouraged. Also, just throwing it out there, the movie Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare dropped today or slash last night. Super excited about that. Alan Ritchson and Henry Cavill. Also, Carrie Elwes is in that. So I'm probably, if I can find time this weekend, gonna pop in and see that. Y'all have a great day, and I will see you later. Bye.